Every day, construction workers pour concrete 400 feet in the air, cranes hover overhead, and familiar views of the sky disappear. Since 2003, the city's been experiencing a historic building boom. Development hasn't been this high for 30 years, but that prosperity has come at a high cost. So far this year, 27 construction workers have died working on private and public jobs in New York City, even as the city and the federal government try to find new ways to improve safety. In the cost of doing business, WNYC looks at one accident from earlier this year and analyzes why this new attention to construction safety is coming up short. Reporters Cindy Rodriguez and Matthew Sherman found that the new regulations were not enforced or couldn't be enforced. On January 30th, Jose Palacios, a Mexican immigrant, fell to his death when the scaffold underneath him collapsed. This is part one of how and why he died.
On the edge of Clinton Hill in Brooklyn, a 13-story glass building rises out of a sea of brownstones. It's called The Collection, and its 30 luxury condominiums are about to go on the market.
Give me a minute. I'm going to open up a few of these.
Aaron Lemma is a broker for the developer, Carnoussa Equities.
This is my favorite line. One-bedroom home, it's really unique.
The glass walls are actually four layers thick to keep out noise and heat. All the water, including that for showers and toilets, is filtered. The 1,800-square-foot roof is common space for all residents.
You can see here you've got 360-degree views, completely unrestricted. You can, as far as your eye can see, Manhattan, Verrazano.
The roof is also where construction worker Jose Palacios died. That was January 30th, a Wednesday.
It was somewhat of a windy day.
Richard Mendelson, area director for OSHA, the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration, oversaw the investigation into the accident.
We had several construction workers on a scaffold doing some exterior facade work.
The rain stopped, but the wind grew stronger. Gusts reached 20 miles an hour, then 30. At about 10 o'clock, the scaffold tore free from the building, collapsed, and sent the workers tumbling. Palacios fell more than 10 stories until he landed on a setback at the third floor, fracturing his skull. He was taken to the hospital, where he was declared dead on arrival.
Inside a modest house on an out-of-the-way block in Astoria, Queens, Jose Palacios' family is still struggling with his death. 28-year-old Yasmin Solis is the dead construction worker's niece. She says the morning of the accident was drizzly and cloudy, and she was surprised her uncle decided to go to work, because on days like that, he usually stayed home.
He said, but if I get there and it's still raining, then I'll come back home. And we thought that was normal. But then, well, it was all for nothing because the accident happened.
Jose Palacios lived with his niece, her husband, and two children, and helped pay the rent in this tidy apartment. He was also supporting a wife and daughter back in Mexico. And the night before he died, the family had thrown a farewell party for the construction worker's sister, who would be returning to Mexico after a long stay. Solis says her mother left the next morning thinking everything was fine.
At the hour that my mother was taking her flight, that was 10 a.m., my uncle was dying. So the two things happened at the same time.
With her small daughter at her side, Solis takes a photograph off the wall. It's her uncle celebrating her daughter's third birthday, the last photo he would take before plummeting to his death. Without any hesitation, 3-year-old Hannah says that's Lucho, her uncle that died. The 42-year-old construction worker was a handsome, short man with wavy black hair. Solis says her uncle was an outgoing person.
He's always been a very, very happy person. No matter how he was, he would always smile. He was a person that would never turn anyone away. He would always talk to anybody.
Solis believes someone should pay for her uncle's death, but she's not so sure it should be Bell Tower Enterprise, the company that employed him for 2.5 years.
He got along really well with his boss. They had a friendship and was very good. During the summertime, they would finish work and get a beer afterwards. His boss never came to the house, but my uncle went to his house and socialized with his family.
Yasmin says soon after the death, the family met with her uncle's boss and saw in him the pain of losing a friend. While Solis was hesitant to place blame on Bell Tower Enterprise, Federal investigators were not.
The OSHA investigator who showed up after Palacios' fall sorted through a twisted pile of pipes, wires, and wooden planks that had scattered across the roof. The inspector determined that this accident could have been avoided with better training. The problem wasn't the wind. OSHA's Richard Mendelson says the problem was the scaffold.
Ties, guys, braces, or outriggers to prevent the tipping of a supported scaffold were broke, and they were not sufficiently strong. What was specified to be used at that job site, ironically, was not put in place.
Instead of using masonry screws to anchor the scaffold to the wall, workers used 25-gauge wire. 25-gauge wire is what you would hang a picture with. It did not take long, given the wind, before the wire broke.
They had the correct ties, and for whatever reason, they didn't have the correct tool to install those ties.
The masonry screws they were supposed to use were found lying on the roof nearby. What the workers were missing was the right size drill bit. Mendelson estimates the bit would have cost $4 to buy from a hardware supply house. The OSHA report shows there is some dispute as to who allowed work to go on under such high winds. The two workers that survived said the site supervisor, hired by the developer, gave them the go-ahead. The site supervisor said he ordered the work stopped, but the crew disobeyed him. OSHA faulted the subcontractor, Bell Tower Enterprise, for putting an unqualified man in charge of the scaffold and fined the company more than $36,000. The investigation found that the man who was supposed to be in charge of the scaffold was none other than Jose Palacios, although Palacios' niece disputes that. The OSHA report says that Palacios had never erected a scaffold for anything but a two-story house before.
The competent person's authority should have said, what we do now is we wait until we get the proper tool. We don't just press forward.
OSHA says the president of Bell Tower, Christopher Page, still has not paid that fine. He disconnected his cell phone and home phone. Other attempts to reach him for comment were unsuccessful.
This fatal accident at a Brooklyn condominium tower was apparently not the first time that a Bell Tower employee fell from a scaffold. According to 22-year-old Carlos Morocho, it had happened once before. Only no one died, and the incident was never reported to authorities. The boyish former construction worker was the alleged victim in that accident. He says he began working for Bell Tower in 2006.
No, ellos, mediante un amigo.
They had a guy who spoke English that managed the jobs. Sometimes they would come and check up on us.
Morocho, wearing baggy jeans and a T-shirt, his straight black hair and a ponytail, described his former bosses as careless. He blames them for his bad back and other injuries he says suffered while working on a scaffold in Borough Park, Brooklyn. This one wasn't as high off the ground as the one at 525 Clinton, but there were similarities. Morocho says workers used it, even though they knew they were missing parts, to make it safer.
It was like a Monday, and we had prepared all the scaffolds because I had been there all day on Friday doing that. But we asked our boss for material to properly secure them, but he never brought it.
The 22-year-old is now suing his former bosses. He was interviewed at the office of his attorney, who says his client fell because wooden planks that form the floor of the scaffold were not secured properly. According to the attorney, Morocho stepped on one end of the plank and the other end flew up, causing him to fall to the ground below. The worker says his first response was to see if he could stand up.
Not even 5 seconds after I stood up, I couldn't walk or move or do anything because a serious pain hit me. All of my friends were saying, call an ambulance, but I said, no, don't call one. I got scared. I don't know why. I thought something would happen to me, that they would arrest me or something.
Morocho says instead of an ambulance, workers called his boss, who dropped him off at a hospital emergency room. The incident was never reported to the Department of Buildings or OSHA. Morocho says there were other times when he felt unsafe while working on a scaffold for Bell Tower, and even though he felt the company put its workers at risk, he was surprised when he heard his friend, Jose Palacios, had died.
I couldn't believe it. I said, no, he can't be dead. They said, he's dead. I said, no. They said, yes. Aside from working, he was a good person and set a good example. An excellent person is all I can say.
Work was steady with Bell Tower, and Morocho says the company had jobs all over the city, though most were in Brooklyn. When he left, he was making $13 an hour off the books. He says once he got hurt, his bosses tried to find him less strenuous work and said they would pay his medical bills, but never did. And even if he wins his lawsuit, getting compensated will likely be difficult. Morocha's attorney says Bell Tower president Christopher Page apparently shut down his company and moved to Wisconsin. Preventing these types of construction accidents and fatalities has proven daunting for federal regulators, and it's not difficult to see why. OSHA has 20 inspectors responsible for overseeing thousands of construction sites across the five boroughs. And Richard Mendelson says they primarily react to accidents and complaints instead of doing preventive inspections. He was hesitant to say his unit is understaffed and instead offered if he had more inspectors, there would be enough work to keep them busy. In fact, this summer, in response to a sharp rise in accidents, OSHA had to bring in staff from outside the region to conduct surprise inspections around the city. The shortage means the city's Department of Buildings has been left to be primarily responsible for making construction work safer. For WNYC, I'm Cindy Rodriguez.
And I'm Matthew Sherman.
Listen tomorrow to hear the second part of our story, The Cost of Doing Business. The buildings department knew about the dangers of scaffolds and instituted measures to prevent an accident just like this one, but they didn't. You can find more on this story, including a slideshow and a timeline, at WNYC.org.